Good morning, Midland First. It is a joy to be with you this morning to worship our God together. What a gift. I am Pastor Bethany Machieski, and I serve as the associate pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And like I said, it is a joy to be with you this morning, whether you are here in the sanctuary or worshiping with us online. I have a few announcements for us this morning. First, we have a birthday celebration happening in Sunday school next week, January 4th. We'll be celebrating all of the birthdays of the year, and so it'll be a fun time for our Sunday school kids. And I also have an announcement for you about office closures for this coming week, December 29th through January 2nd. For the New Year's holiday, we will open again on January 5th. But if you have a pastoral care need in that time, we invite you to call the office, and please make sure you leave a message. Those will be forwarded to Pastor Jeremy or myself, but we'll need you to leave a message. And so we will care for those promptly. And I believe those are all the announcements that I have for us this morning. And so I invite us to stand and turn and greet our neighbors, and then to remain standing after I ring the bell for our call to worship.
I invite you to remain standing for our call to worship, which you will find in our bulletin and also on the screen in front of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Praise Him for all His faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to Him. Praise the Lord. I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join us in our opening song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, on page 240 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you. have the children come forward, please? Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Today we're having pajama day in Sunday school for any of those that are wondering. We're gonna have kind of a laid back in between. Wow, this is wonderful. Look at all of you guys here compared to the number in the congregation. Woo, you guys rock for coming out on this morning. Nice. All right, today we are going to dive into the Bible, more mystery about the birth of Jesus Christ. Ooh, it's going to be an adventure. It's a mystery. We are going to Matthew. Do you guys remember where Matthew is in the Bible? New or Old Testament? New Testament, yep. We're going to dive right into chapter 2, verse 13 through, I think it was 23. Anyway, we're going to talk about an adventure. There's a dream. There's quite a few things that we're going to look at. As far as, have any of you ever had a dream before? Sometimes they're good dreams. And sometimes, you know, like the when branches fall down, things get a little scary, right? But we know in our hearts, as we've been studying through this season here, that Jesus is with us, right? God is with us, just like through this whole season. And he's going to guide the way, right? Just like he does with us every day as we finish up our break and go back to school. So, all right. Everybody's got their stuffies. We're going to do a quick prayer. Yep. Ready to have some fun in Sunday school? I am. Okay. All right. Dear God, we thank you for caring about all of us in now and in ancient times too. Help us to remember to care for and pray for the people who are living in unsafe countries and situations, as we will find out in our mystery, our wonderings today. And we ask you, please, God, to be with us this week and in Sunday school and help us to have a fun Sunday school. In Jesus Christ's name, what do you say? What do you say? How do we end our prayer, Owen? Amen or amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
Christmas, thank God for Christmas. We praise you, Lord, for your great plan for us. Redemption is your plan for Christmas. A baby born to bring us back to love. So Gloria, we praise you, Lord,
Amen. Thank you, Randy, and thank you, Bill. What a wonderful reminder that for the church, the Christmas season stretches past Christmas. We believe that this gift that God has given us in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is too great to celebrate on one evening or one day, but that we stretch Christmas through Epiphany. And so, Randy, we thank you for that reminder. And as we continue in worship and continue to dwell on the gift that God has given us, we take time to share in our giving of our tithes and offerings this morning. As we do so, we invite you to share your presence with us here this morning if you're inside the sanctuary by signing in on the red pads. I believe there's extra credit for attending this Sunday after Christmas. No, I don't think that's so right, Chuck. We're grateful you're here, though, and these pads do help us each and every Sunday to know who is with us and to remain connected with you. So I encourage you to sign the red friendship pads if you are here this morning in the sanctuary. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you to sit back and reflect on all that God is giving to you through God's blessings in your lives. For our friends and members of the church, we thank you for your ongoing support of the mission of Midland First United Methodist Church. And with this and through the Christmas season, let us delight in giving back to God who has given us so much. So with all this, with the ushers, please come forward. Thank you. Almighty God, in this Christmas season, we are reminded of your faithfulness, we are reminded of your grace, and we are reminded of your power. We ask for your blessings upon these offerings, O Lord, that others might know of your love and grace through Jesus Christ. We pray this in his very name. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old, 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When we were younger, one of my cousins and I used to play the computer game version of Nancy Drew based off the book series. We tried and tried to solve those mysteries, and we never did succeed. Thinking of how Matthew writes his account of the gospel made me think of my cousin and me, because Matthew seems to say, "Here it is. Here's what happened. And here's the evidence. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet." 3 times in 10 verses, Matthew says something like this, pointing to the evidence from Isaiah and Hosea, as well as Jeremiah, that what was written about Jesus, the Messiah, is true. Craig A. Evans points out that in the Old Testament, it's possible to see similarities in Moses' story. Just as Pharaoh tried to destroy the Hebrew males, so Herod now tries to destroy the Messiah by killing Hebrew males born in and around Bethlehem. Just as Moses fled from Egypt to escape the wrath of Pharaoh, Jesus and his parents flee to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. Just as Moses will depart from Egypt to begin his ministry of deliverance. Evans also alludes to parallels for verse 18, known as the slaughter of the innocent in Roman literature, as well as a second typology involving the northern tribes of Judea. According to Evans, Jeremiah's poetry originally referred to the destruction of the northern tribes, particularly the descendants of Joseph and Benjamin. Matthew understands the slaughter of the children in Bethlehem resulting from the violence of a murderous monarch as a parallel to what happened to the northern tribes caused by the violence of a foreign king, in this case, the king of Assyria. And so, what does that mean for us? If that's true, what does that mean for us? And why is it all important? What it boils down to is that the prophets spoke to a people in a specific time and place. They didn't provide every single detail regarding Jesus' life, but what we have is to be believed. What we have is to be believed. That's the point. Matthew also tells us that each time of movement, an angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And we know that from the first chapter, an angel of the Lord had already spoken to him once when he found out that Mary was going to have a baby. Joseph had planned to divorce her quietly until an angel spoke to him in a dream. It wasn't that Mary and Joseph, even Herod, didn't have free will to choose or not to choose which way to go or which choice to make. Certainly, it was not God's perfect will under which Herod killed many children looking for one. Certainly not. And Matthew wasn't pulling proof texts to prove something. Rather, God was working. He allows us to choose, but he knows everything. He knows us so well that when he speaks and it sounds like a prediction, what he's really stating are facts. Based on who God is as all-knowing and who we are as those who have been created in him and have come to being for him. Matthew wants his readers to know that this isn't just a made-up story, an unsolvable riddle, an unfulfilled prophecy, or an unkept promise. No. Every detail was carefully planned and thought through before the foundation of the world. God knew how to point people toward what they've heard before through typologies and literature so that he could bring about miracles in their proper context. He knew what we would choose before we did, even though sometimes we don't always choose according to his perfect will. The last thing that God wants is to give us a sign without being able to recognize it. Jesus got angry because the Pharisees only wanted signs, but they didn't care about where they came from. God didn't send angels to Joseph for a good story, but because God knew that Joseph was the one that God had chosen to care for Mary and baby Jesus, and God knew what Joseph needed in order to confidently fulfill that. God also knows exactly what we need. We don't know Matthew the Apostle, and he doesn't know us, but the Holy Spirit does. There is much that I could say about how and why Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus went to Egypt and settled in Nazareth eventually, fulfilling prophecies. But as I pondered the text and prayed about what God might have for us today, what I want you to hear is that God's intentionality always accomplishes his purpose. There's more than one way to solve a mystery. And just because I'm no whiz at Nancy Drew doesn't mean it can't be done. I had a roommate once who told me that she'd done it. God meets us where we are, and he takes us to where we need to be, as long as we follow his lead. Perhaps a more relatable real-life anecdote. In October of 2022, I was taking 4 seminary classes, one of which was Greek. I'm better at Greek than Hebrew, for sure, but languages for me are a challenge all around. In October of 2022, I was set to come home for a weekend with a friend to go on a retreat. And I was in a pinch because I needed rest for my body and my soul, but I had an online Greek exam due on Sunday that I needed to study for. Not exactly what I would call perfect timing, except our God is perfect. I made the decision to go on the retreat, knowing that I needed rest, and I found myself on Saturday morning standing outside walking a labyrinth. It was tricky to walk over the stones with my walker, so I just took it very slowly. It wasn't very contemplative at all. I was just trying to make sure that I didn't trip. But at one point, I just stopped walking. And that's when I looked at the path and I heard God speak. In scripture, oftentimes, Egypt is remembered for the Exodus in the Old Testament. For Joseph and Mary and Jesus, it was a refuge. Although it wasn't in God's perfect will that they should have needed to flee there. Remember, they were fleeing from Herod's massacre. And it wasn't in God's perfect will that I find myself pressed between 4 classes, a Greek exam, and how I would spend my time. 4 classes was one too many and unnecessary. But in the pattern of that labyrinth, God reminded me that you can take a road that looks like the wrong direction, because labyrinths, they wind back and forth, moving towards the center, back and forth, back and forth, and still end up where you're supposed to be, in the center. God could have chosen to redeem the world any way that he wanted. He chose to come in the flesh as a baby. He chose to use Mary and Joseph and to lead Joseph by speaking in dreams multiple times, because God knew Joseph and he knows us. God loves us. And if he says something will happen, it will come to pass. Even if things in between don't look as we think they should, or even if we know certain choices are not good, God can work in those circumstances and redeem them. Isaiah the prophet, did not live to see what he had prophesied come to pass in Jesus our Savior. Neither did Jeremiah or Hosea. But it did come to pass. And as with Joseph, God will use any means necessary to help us. The author of Hebrews in chapter 2 puts it so beautifully, the purpose of the incarnation. He says, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrificial atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. Have hope, friends. God is with us. Everything that was spoken through the prophet was fulfilled for us. And what is still to be fulfilled, it will be. It was not for God's own sake that he took on flesh, but for our own. That's why we can rest in his promises, because God is faithful. His promises come to pass even hundreds and thousands of years after they've been spoken for the first time. Not one thing is lost in God. Nothing. Never. And Jesus Christ is the one in whom these promises live. He is the Son of the living God, our Savior. He is our living hope. What good, good news. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us join together in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of God is also the Son of Man. Both God and man, 100% both at the same time. What a gift and what good news. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us who you are. You have told us of your promises years before they've come to pass sometimes. And you have been faithful to bring to pass your coming in the flesh. We thank you that what you have begun, you will complete on into the day of Christ Jesus, as Paul said. You who have begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Lord, we thank you that nothing can stop your promises from being fulfilled. Nothing can stop your purposes. And that you will use any means necessary to speak to us so that we can hear you. We thank you for Joseph and Mary, who were faithful in what you called them to do and called them to be. We thank you for the prophets who spoke and for those who speak. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand this day and every day what you speak over us. You are continually speaking to us and continually telling us you love us. Lord, I pray that we would ever be open to hearing your voice and to be in your hands and feet in the world. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be your hands and feet in so many ways in this community, in this state, and in the world. Lord, I pray that our outreach would indeed continue to reach across the world in ways that we do not yet see. But Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, and that those you send will always complete what you have given, and that your word never comes back void. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today and for those who cannot worship freely, for those who live in war-torn countries. Lord, will you give them your peace today, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that supersedes our circumstances. And will you guard the hearts and minds of those who love you in who you are today? May you guard our hearts and minds today, and help us to expect the unexpected, but to hope forward, and to believe that you are still speaking and calling us in bold ways. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the privilege that it is to be yours and to proclaim your good news wherever we are. Strengthen and equip us, and help us to see and to hear even small ways in which you're calling us. And Lord, we thank you that you never ever leave us, but are always right beside us and within us through your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Fill us anew and restore our soul. Thank you for who you are as the comforter and the advocate and the one who leads us into all truth. And we thank you for the privilege that it is to pray always and everywhere, not just here in the sanctuary. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to stand as you're able and join in our closing hymn, "Once in Royal David City," on page 250 in your hymnal or on the screen. Beloved of God, go in confidence today, knowing that what was spoken through the prophets was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and what he has said will come to pass always. Know that he goes with you and will walk faithfully with you each and every day. And as he calls you to spread his love, he will show you how and where and when faithfully, because he loves us. And so go in peace, all of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.